The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do. And we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. Each week we bring on a different nonprofit. And today I am lucky enough to have both the Child Care Council of Nassau and the Child Care Council of Suffolk. I don't know how often you get together in one, but I think it's great. I know you're the president of the board of one of them, right? Of the group?
I am the executive director of the Child Care Council of Nassau.
And that's Joy Connolly, the executive director of Nassau. And Jennifer Rojas is the executive director of Suffolk. And she's having a big event next week. I can't wait to go to it because she just told me it's more or less sold out.
That's right.
I love to hear that about events. So welcome to you, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
And as Joy has just finished her 50th anniversary event at Ohiga Castle, which was wonderful, she's been through a lot and she feels for Jennifer the week before her show goes on.
That is true. Wish her all the luck, and definitely am glad that it's her and not me the week before a big event.
And the week before a big event is the toughest time for anybody.
That's true, especially all the last minute changes and just trying to make sure we make everybody happy and have a good time.
And where are you having it?
At the Hamlet Golf and Country Club in Commack.
Are people going to be playing golf the same time?
If it's a nice day, yes, we will see people out there playing golf, which is always fun.
And I'm a golfer, so I'm happy. I won't be there, though. I'll probably be at Stonebridge. But let's hear about the Child Care Council of Nassau first. Joy, tell us about it.
Sure. So we, as you mentioned, we've been around for 50 years. We're a child care resource and referral agency who provides free referrals to families who are looking for child care. And we provide a lot of support to the workforce through professional development, training, coaching, and mentoring. And we also do a lot of policy and advocacy for families with young children and the child care industry as a whole. And we are excited to partner with lots of initiatives and work with the Child Care Council of Suffolk.
Well, let's hear of Child Care Council of Suffolk now. Jennifer, tell us a little bit about it.
Great, thank you. Yes, yeah, so we do everything that Joy said, but we do it in Suffolk.
What did she say?
And we do it for all of the Suffolk County child care programs and families. And we also partner with a lot of folks and work closely with the state to regulate some of the child care providers in Suffolk County. And advocacy is also one of our big priorities together to make sure that Long Island families get what they need when it comes to child care.
So there's, as you told me this week, there's 23 chapters, or are there more throughout New York State?
There are 35 CCRNRs throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. And are they each different? Are they run the same way? Is there a formula that they have to follow?
So across the state, the structure of the agencies will look different. Some are embedded within larger service agencies. Some are standalone, such as ours. We all do have a contract that is similar with the state to provide the resource and referral, professional development services to the families and providers in our areas. But the size and scope of how we do that does vary around the state based on the needs of the communities.
Now, coming up, and I've heard that it's going to be delayed for the first time in many years, is the budget, which usually is, you know, April 1st, right? And how much do you, the two of you, rely on that?
A lot. our contracts usually run about 5 years at a time. Our contracts have not seen an increase in 15 years.
Oh,
so we've been hoping to get some type of cost of living increase in our contracts through this budget cycle. So that is something that we're waiting to hear about. But also the larger industry is in crisis, and we certainly need action from the legislature and the governor to make sure that the budget supports the childcare industry.
Well, you know, last year, I think it was the agencies, the special needs agencies, got a cost of living increase. Were you part of that at all? You know, with childcare, that's separate, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is separate, and we have seen some recent wins for other industries, including human service agencies. So we are hoping that this is the year for childcare resource and referrals.
Will you bring up, Joy, about the about Governor Hochul, and she announced a sweeping plan to make New York a childcare system fairer, more affordable, and easier to access as part of the 2023 State of the State. The state budget, as we know, is now being negotiated. Are there any highlights that you could provide?
Sure. So one of the highlights, and I'll let Jen talk a little bit more about the Child Care Availability Task Force and the work that they're doing, because that's really going to help pave the way for many of the initiatives that Governor Hochul has outlined. But the major one is around really supporting the workforce through a child care retention workforce plan. We are asking the governor to increase the funding that she's allocated for this opportunity, but definitely applaud her and because we know that this is a low-wage industry and they are really in need of public support to allow them to do the best that they can for the kids in their care.
Well, you're the president of the group, and you're the vice president, Jennifer, right?
Other way
Opposite.
Around, yep. But that's okay.
Other way around, okay. Yeah. So you must be lobbying a lot, right?
I'm not lobbying. I'm doing a lot of advocacy work. Yes.
Right.
I'm actually a member of the Governor's Child Care Availability Task Force, which just started its second round. I think last week I was up in Albany for the first meeting. We released a report about 2 years ago laying the groundwork for improvements in child care. Many of those recommendations were adopted through the legislature and the governor, and now we're looking to do a lot more. So yes, we are pushing really hard for this workforce retention grants. We just did a survey statewide. The campaign did a survey, and I want to say there are almost 20,000 children in the state who cannot be served right now because there are vacancies in child care programs as far as staffing. So they don't have enough staff to bring in all the children that they're licensed to care for. And so there's a lot of children in the state who are not getting child care because the workforce cannot, they can't afford to live on those wages.
Right. And they can get more at McDonald's and more at Starbucks.
Right.
And more, you know, so this is definitely a big issue.
Right.
And it's not just in the child care industry, you know, as I said, about working with as much as we do, because we work with nonprofits and special needs, that they're having the same problem because their wages are so low, even with that cost of living increase.
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, I think that there's a crisis across the kind of caring industry. So in nursing and in home aides, working with adults with developmental disabilities as well as children with special needs. So we really are seeing a crisis in the support system that allows for the families and communities to thrive. And childcare is among them. And on Long Island, there are, 8,000 employees in the childcare industry. And we really need to think about it very intentionally to allow them to, have enough to pay for their own bills, skills, and then have the peace of mind when they're in the classroom with our children. Because we know if we're stressed at home about, can I, you know, put food in my fridge, that stress is going to come out in the workplace. And, you know, young children need really solid teacher-child interactions that are based in support and nurture and relationships. And that's really difficult to give if you are, you know, have the empty cup, right? If you don't have enough peace of mind about your own life, then it's really hard to be able to give that to others.
Well, do you have any rallies planned? They work really well when they put them together and they put them in front of the cameras, because you really need to get this out. I mean, it's really important that people know about it. That's how you get their attention. Are there any politicians that are really behind you?
So we do have really big champions within the state legislature on Long Island. Assemblywoman Kimberly Jean-Pierre and Assemblywoman
Michele Salajas.
And then we a new supporter who's really stepped up and has done press conferences on this is Senator Dean Murray from Suffolk County. So we do have supporters. The chairs of the committees of the Assembly and Senate, Andrew Hevesy and Jabari Brisport, are huge champions and really pushing this. There have been rallies probably every week up in Albany at the Capitol over the past month. I think there was another one this past Wednesday night, where they released the findings of the survey of how many programs have empty classrooms. So we're pushing it. The governor has made it a priority. It's really about prioritizing the money now. And that's where the devil's in the details. And we have to make sure they step up and put the right money in.
You know, is this a bipartisan issue? I mean, are you getting support from both sides on this?
Yes. Luckily, childcare is one of those few spaces where there is bipartisan support. And because we all have a need to have employees who have options for childcare, and those who choose to have young children, you know, on Long Island, 70% of young children are in households where the primary breadwinner, either together or single, is out in the workforce. And so there's a great need for childcare, and we're very thankful that we do see support across party lines.
Let's go back to the history, because as you said, there's 35 chapters or so. Is that what you call them, chapters?
They're individual member agencies, yes.
It's not chapters. We'll call them something else. But did they start all at the same time?
No, and I will not pretend to be an expert on the history of all of them, no. The whole network. Nassau was definitely one of the first, and Suffolk County, which our organization was founded by Janet Wallerstein. She actually started a kind of coalition 50 years ago, but the agency didn't come about until 1985. And then I think throughout the state, they developed as needed as communities coalesced around childcare.
Right, and actually the first coordinating council, which is now called the Early Care and Learning Council, that Jen is the board president, the conversations initiated on Long Island. I just read a fun fact about ECLC, and it ended up now is in Albany, but the beginning conversations take root here on Long Island.
So, Joy, do you have someone who started the Nassau, I'd say chapter, because I'll never remember what you just said. No, I'm kidding. But somebody who started it the same way that that Suffolk did.
So the origins of the Child Care Council of Nassau really began out of the Health and Welfare Council of Long Island. So there was a committee of the Health and Welfare Council of Long Island that got together to kind of pioneer this work. Our kind of the champion for Child Care Council of Nassau was Gloria Wallach, and she was a fierce advocate for children, not only on Long Island, but throughout the state. And so when we look to kind of tip our hats to the founding mother of a Child Care Council of Nassau, although she ultimately wasn't the first executive director, she is definitely the one that brought Child Care Council of Nassau to the space it is now, and the really strong connection to at policy and advocacy that we continue to have.
And you had the privilege of working with her for many years, right?
After Gloria was Janet, was Jan Barbieri. And so Jan was there for at the agency for over 30 years and as executive director for 19. And she was my predecessor.
Oh,
and
she's the one. Okay.
I was really lucky. It's okay. to be able to have worked with her for 10 years consecutively.
You know, you and I have had this conversation before. When you were working under her, you had all kinds of ideas that you would do when you took over, if you ever took over. Did you bring those to fruition? Not all at once.
Right. Well, you definitely, you know, always have lots of ideas when you're not at the head of the table. right, Jen?
Yes.
Yes and no. There are things that I think that the space opened up. You know, I became executive director during the pandemic, which is an interesting transition. And so that opportunity allowed for us to think in new ways. And so it made sense for some of the ideas that I was thinking about, particularly around kind of building our partnerships, but also really reaching a larger group of providers. You know, you can often work to help providers who kind of know who you are, but the pandemic allowed us to work with all providers in new ways, some that have been in the world of childcare for a really long time, and a lot of new faces. So it really allowed us to have a lot of new touches, and then made our agency really think about how we are engaging in new ways. And I know Jen had similar experiences.
Yeah, let's hear from Jen. Can I call you Jen or Jennifer?
Jen is fine.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
So I am only the second executive director of the Child Care Council of Suffolk. My predecessor, Janet Wallerstein, was there for 33 years and it was an incredible leader statewide, nationally on child care issues. And yes, you always have ideas of how this is what I will do when I am the boss. And then you realize how hard some of it is. But yes, the goal really is to make sure that, and we're still working on this and need to do more, but is to be out in the community to make sure families, childcare providers all know that who we are, what we services we provide, making sure businesses know who we are so they can help their employees have access to childcare. And the pandemic, while there were so many downsides to it, I will say one piece that I found very helpful was getting to know myself individually. So many childcare providers, because we were out there handing out hand sanitizer and masks and gloves in those first early weeks when you couldn't not get toilet paper. We had tons of toilet paper we were able to give out, and you got to meet people one-on-one, which was really, I think, helps us now do our work much better.
Well, I applaud you both for all the work you do. Tell us a little bit about why childcare is so important to Long Island families.
Sure. Well, you know, it is the workforce behind the workforce, right? So childcare keeps Long Island workers working. And, you know, families need a space where they feel confident and secure that they're, you know, the most precious thing in their life is being cared for while they're at work. And it's really important to think about, you know, what kind of development is happening in those early years. So between 0 to 5, and you can imagine in your mind what a infant looks like and what a 5-year-old looks like. The amount of growth that happens in those first 5 years is just monumental. The brain is developing rapidly. The body is changing. And so childcare allows the children to have opportunities to grow in all ways that they need to, from their language and socialization, their social emotional supports, and their physical, their mental, everything under the sun. And so it's amazing space for children to have the opportunity to develop in those areas, and for families to have the peace of mind that their child is cared for.
And to add, I just want to build on that, because there's also a huge economic factor that childcare brings, right? So it's really good for the families. It allows them to work, which allows more money to be moving through our economy. It's great for the children. It helps prepare them for school. But in the very short term, and we worked with the Long Island Association a few years back, it's actually more than a few years at this point, but the studies are consistent that for every dollar spent on childcare, there's an almost $2 return to the Long Island economy. And so it's a win-win when we try to put money into the system, that you will generate more money. The workforce spends their money locally, the providers are buying their supplies locally, and the parents themselves are able to work, have peace of mind, be more productive, and it's just an overall solid investment, which I think, to the, your previous question, is why we have bipartisan support for supporting and funding childcare.
Well, we're going to keep talking about this subject. We have a lot more to talk about in our second half hour. So I'm here with Joy Connolly from Nassau County. You don't live in Nassau. No, and we're here from Jennifer Rojas from Suffolk County. And I'm Ron Gold, and I'm in Suffolk County also. We'll be right back.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit.
Good morning. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice. Each week we have a different nonprofit on. This week we have the Child Care Council of Nassau and Suffolk. Both together we have Joy Connolly, who is the executive director of Nassau County, and Jennifer Rojas, who is pulling her hair out because she has an event next Friday. And we know what that's like. So welcome to both of you. And let's talk more about childcare. And we were just talking about how many children in Nassau and Suffolk, right, there are that, you know, and it's better that the money comes back. And if you put your kid in childcare, it would come back double, right? But, you know, what do the parents see? They see, oh, $1,500 a month for childcare? How am I going to do that?
Well, I mean, it is, you know, one of the challenges with childcare is that it is very, has a very high cost. And that's because there's an adult-child ratio that is set by the state for best practices. It is difficult for families to have to, particularly young families when they're kind of young in their careers, that have to make choices about, you know, mortgage and childcare and gas and all kinds of things. On Long Island, infant care can cost up to $17,000 a year, which is more than state college tuition, right? And so there are some supports that allow families to have access to childcare, and I can let Jen talk about the childcare assistance program that we have in both counties.
Great. Yes. So the Child Care Assistance Program, which was formerly known as the Child Care Subsidy Program, is run through the county departments of social services, and it basically pays for almost all of the cost of care for the family. And the eligibility for this program has increased as of last year. So it is up to 300% of the federal poverty line, which is approximately 92,000 for a family of four. So we were happy that that amount increased, but we're not sure everybody's aware of it. And so it's important that if you think you might possibly be eligible, you can contact either Child Care Council or the Department of Social Services. There's a new online tool as well that you can just fill out to see if you would be eligible and get information about applying. And it's really, it really helps because it will literally cover 99.9% of your child care costs.
Well, some of the questions I've heard from different people that I've talked to about it, can they still go to the same child care facility that they've been going to?
That's a great question. So the providers do, the center staff do need to get in, have a contract with the Department of Social Services. Many of the, there are over 1,000 providers in Nassau County, and the majority of them do have a contract with the Department of Social Services in order to be eligible to take assistance. So if the provider that they're using right now does not have a contract with the county, that is, they can definitely call the councils and we can help the provider understand what they need to do and connect with social services to make that happen. Jen, I don't know if you wanted to.
Sure. I think it's similar that the provider does need to agree to accept the subsidy or the child care assistance program. And most do, not all, but I think if there is an existing parent that's at a program who becomes eligible, most providers would work with them to figure it out so that they can participate in the program.
Well, one of the other questions I had and one of the other problems that people have been having have been with the questionnaire or to fill out what they have to fill out to get approved. They think it was too long. They're not as sophisticated and bright as they, and I'm not taking shots at anybody. I'm just saying that they look at it and they say, wow, I can't do this.
The application, it can be overwhelming, such as the application for probably almost every public program. I know, even just, filling out applications for my kids' school can be overwhelming. both of the child care councils do have staff that can help support parents as they fill them out, so they could contact us. There is a part of the governor's proposal and part of the task force is looking to streamline, make the process simpler, and to take other steps that would reduce the amount of documentation. It is a federally funded program, so there are federal requirements we have to comply with, and that's why there are certain documentation requirements. But again, we provide assistance, so any family who is struggling or has questions or concerns can contact the Child Care Council in their county, and we will be happy to help them.
Well, one of the things that I think is great is the fact that they pay the providers, they don't pay the people. Because if they paid the people for going to daycare, they would use it for something else, probably.
Potentially, although there is, in Nassau County, the county does pay providers directly for the assistance, except in the case of the legally exempt providers. So if you are eligible for child care assistance, you can choose to have your child in a licensed or regulated program, or you can choose to have it in a legal exempt care, which is friend, neighbor, or family care. And so,
I didn't know that. That's great.
It is, and it's an option, particularly for folks that have very young children. Infant slots are far and few between, and so you might feel more comfortable having grandma watch the infant, or if you work alternate shifts. So if you work third shift and need someone to cover dinner or overnight care, then legally exempt care might be an option for your family. This is different between throughout the state, but in Nassau County, it is a reimbursement program to the parent. So the parent is asked to pay for the care, and then the county reimburses them directly with the
with
the assistance program.
Because it shows that they've paid them. And they didn't use the money, to gamble or buy anything else, which you're always afraid of. I guess for the rest of the year, I could still say, let's talk about COVID. But after that, I'm finished. How was COVID for both of you?
Well, it was extremely challenging, just like everybody else in the world. I think what's important to note is that when the schools shut down, when businesses told people to work from home, childcare programs had to stay open. Many of them closed temporarily, but think of all the people who work in grocery stores and pharmacies and hospitals who have children. They needed a program for their children to go to. So we still had hundreds and hundreds of child care providers open in both counties caring for thousands of children of essential workers in those early days of the pandemic. So I just always like to thank those providers and really highlight that they were essential workers on the front line working with little children who you cannot social distance from, little ones, right? And so they were putting their lives at risk caring for these children, and they did it, and they did it with love. So that was, I think, really important. And what I hear now from many providers is while COVID was very hard, and especially when they had to shut down because somebody had COVID and they had to isolate and quarantine, what they're facing now is almost harder because of this workforce shortage, because they cannot hire and the demand is back for people needing childcare now that you know everything's sort of going back to normal.
And we could talk about something else now, which is, again, overwhelming, and that's children's mental health and what's happening with that. And we've seen it and we've talked about it at times, the three of us, as far as the social workers having to call through the Zoom programs and the virtual programs, calling the kids to ask, you know, what they've been doing, how they've been doing, and the kids hiding in the bathroom because they didn't want to talk in front of their parents.
Yeah, well, there is definitely, you know, a mental health crisis for young children, and that includes the youngest of us, right? So the pandemic babies, you know, some of the research that's coming out now, we're seeing that the children are having slower to get all of their speech previous generations of children, and that there was also, you know, just when we think about kind of their world was very isolated if they were kept at home. And so having some transition issues, getting back into classrooms with other children. So the providers really need support to handle new behaviors that they're seeing and to kind of red flag any delays that might be coming up due to what was happening in the space. And one of the bright spots and solutions is that we do have an infant toddler mental health consultation program that is offered through the two councils. And, you know, Jen has a staff member who's been with her through the pandemic before and after. So I'd love her to share anything more about kind of the work that the mental health consultants are doing.
Sure. So the mental health consultant program is really where we have a trained mental health person who goes in and works with the adults in the program. So it is not a direct therapy or a therapeutic model for the child, because ultimately the adults really need to create an environment where children can feel safe and thrive. And that is how we manage the behaviors. And maybe it does include identifying any other special services. But what we have seen is definitely an increase in the behavioral issues because children were so isolated, especially the little ones who were born during the quarantine, and they don't know how to interact. And then the adults who, as Joy mentioned earlier, are already stressed because they are not making a lot of money. They've been through the pandemic. And then you have a high turnover and you have inexperienced teachers. And so it's sort of this perfect storm of the children having these struggles and the teachers maybe not being as supported as needed. And so this program, the idea is to come in, provide that intensive support with the program, with the classroom, and create an environment that makes everybody feel better and hopefully will spread throughout the entire system over time.
Well, you have these wonderful programs. How are you letting people know about them? That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, it is a challenge. You know, both councils, we do a lot. We're in
a lot.
We're in a lot of spaces. And so it's hard to ensure that the public and the community knows all of the breadth of work that we do. But we both do have social media handles as well as websites, which provide a lot more information about the different programs that we're doing. And we're happy to be on your show today to connect with more folks.
But when you say social media, I'm happy to have you on for the third time. You're getting up there. You're going to get that jacket like they get on Saturday
night. Yeah, I get a badge.
No, but the thing is with social media from you and from your company is that you have to build it up from your view. And I'm on your list for LinkedIn and also Facebook. So I watch everything you're doing.
No. Thank you.
But I'm saying you have to constantly be looking for more people to get in with. That's the biggest challenge.
Yeah, social media is a lot of work, right?
Yes, and
Jennifer's doing it all.
Admittedly,
herself.
That we admittedly we are not great at that, right? Because our capacity is also limited. So, as much as I want to scream from the rooftops about all of our programs, there's also a limit to how much we can do with the number of staff we have. So, part of what we do is also very targeted. So, our outreach on this particular program is directly to the child care programs that we may that we either know are having some struggles. Right. Or to kind of use word of mouth to spread as we're building the program, because the idea is that the program will continue to grow. But yes, agreed, we could do much better in letting the public know about all of our services through social media and other avenues.
Well, Joy just hired Vicky to go out there through outreach, and I think that's a key thing to do. I was very excited about that.
Yeah, we're excited. You know, one of the shifts that we created was to have a community outreach and engagement director. Because I do think word of mouth is important, but also really being embedded in communities. And so really thinking about how do we put ourselves in spaces where we are going to be able to voice both the needs of the childcare industry, but also the programs and supports that are out there. Because we don't want folks to just hear about the challenges and throw their hands up, but we really want to be part of the solution. And so it's great that Vicky is out there spreading the word. But I know that both Childcare Council of Suffolk and Nassau were at the Health and Welfare Council of Long Island Job Fair just this week. And we shared a table, as we often do, and got to, again, talk to potential job applicants about working in nonprofits and about specifically working for a child care resource and referral agency. So that was a great opportunity.
And I just want to say I'm very jealous that Joy was able to create and fill that position, because it's something that's very high on my priorities, as well as to have somebody who can go out into the communities and talk with families and providers, because the communities in both counties are very, very diverse. What the needs are out on the East End are very different from the needs in Brentwood or Wyandanch or on the North Shore in Huntington. So it's important to have somebody who can really go out and talk to communities, understand what their needs are, not what we think their needs are, but what their needs actually are, because that will inform then how we can support them and the child care programs.
Well, after meeting with you, Jennifer, I thought that's something you do.
She wears many hats.
You know, executive directors of nonprofits wear many,
know,
many
I'm
hats.
Joking.
Yes. No, we I think just to go back to the Health and Welfare Council's nonprofit job fair, the positions we need to fill right now are all, we need bilingual staff who speak Spanish and English. That is a huge need in Suffolk County. And I think those staff are in high demand. So it is very, very difficult to find people who are interested in coming to a nonprofit who are, in high demand, who speak both English and Spanish. So just putting it out there.
How was the job fair? Were there a lot of people there? I know there were probably a lot of tables.
There were a lot of tables, and I think this is the first year that they've put it on. So I heard that, they were folks, but they wanted many more
of course they did,
to attend.
But there were probably a lot of agencies there because they were all talking about going there.
So, yeah, there's a lot of needs for, you know, nonprofits, not just childcare programs, but nonprofits and both councils. We're also having hiring challenges. So I'm not surprised that there are many, many other nonprofits with tables at the event.
Tell me one more thing before we have the last 2 minutes. The Office of Children and Family Services Child Care Assistance Program.
So we were that's the assistant program that we were talking about, how the eligibility had grown. The other new information about that is that the child care programs did receive an increase in the market rate. And so the at this point, they are at 87%.
Okay.
I like that answer.
It went up significantly, the percentage of the rate that providers get paid now for caring for the children. And also related to that and some of the challenges is both counties, well, I'm not sure about Nassau, I can only speak for Suffolk County's Department of Social Services is also struggling to hire. So they have many open positions in the department that processes and deals with those applications. So as you mentioned before, the application itself can be difficult and then we don't have enough staff in the counties. So our county is desperately trying to hire. So if anybody's interested in working for government,
our county as well, Nassau,
which I have to say I've worked in government, it's a fantastic gig. Nonprofit is also a fantastic gig. But all of those factors are really impacting how families can access childcare.
But I'm hearing this year more about both of you and both of your agencies than I did in the past. Not just from me working with you, but just hearing from other people. And I think that's great because you are getting it out there somehow. How can people get a hold of you and get in touch with you?
So you can definitely go on our website, which is www.childcarenassau.org for more information and a lot of contact information. And you can also call us at 516-358-9250.
And Jennifer, they could see you at the event next week, or they could, no, how could they get hold of you?
So you could also go to our website, which is www.childcaresuffolk.org, and our contact information is on there. And our number is 631-462-0303.
You're listening. I want to thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer and Joy. It's been great. And you're listening to the Nonprofit Voice. This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works, and we'll be back next week. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.